Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The Old Testament is many things: prophecy, history, law, and wisdom literature, such as Psalms and Proverbs. Today we continue a high-speed look at the Old Testament, focusing on the time when Israel was taken into captivity, its temple destroyed. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Dr. Lutzer continues a series on the drama of redemption. In this, the second of four messages, Erwin Lutzer resumes our look at the Old Testament.
The Bible is a very remarkable book. Simple because we believe its promises and there are those favorite passages that we love to read. But it's also very complex. If you have a Bible before you, notice the table of contents. You can turn to that table of contents right now. The first five books of the Old Testament are the books of law. Then you have historical books. You have wisdom literature, such as Psalms and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. And then, as you continue, you have all of the prophets. And you must keep in mind that these prophets and these books are not all chronological. They are not in chronological order. Now, the Bible has a remarkable unity. In fact, I'm going to be stressing that in the next message on this series to show you that these 66 books written by 40 different authors provide a unity that in many respects is breathtaking. But at the same time, if we don't understand its chronology, we don't know where all the books fit. And that's why we've prepared a chart for you, and I want you to take the chart right now and open it, because this gives you the historical timeline of the Bible. It is indeed the drama of redemption. And if you're watching this today online, I need to tell you that I've been told that there is an online version, an electronic version of this chart on our website. As you look at this chart, you can see that there are some books that move history forward. They are, by and large, the red books. And then there are those that support the story, or those who go on at the very same time, concurrently. For example, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles cover essentially the same history, but from a different point of view. What I've encouraged you to do is to read the Bible through 5 chapters a day, so that if you miss a day or two, you'll be caught up, because actually 4 chapters a day you could read the Bible through. And some of you might like to, first of all, just read the historical narrative as you trace its journey, and then later on come and read its supporting material. But it is so important for you to read it. Last time I spoke to you about the fact that I believe that there are parts of the Bible that you should skim. And I suggested that unless you want to camp on the book of Leviticus and understand it well, skim the book of Leviticus. This past week, I read the first 10 chapters of Numbers with all of those lists of people who are going back and all of the things that they took. And I have to confess, I scanned most of it, always looking for things that the Holy Spirit might reveal to me. You say, well, isn't all the Bible so rich? Of course it's rich. If you stop to study the book of Leviticus, you could be there all year and be blessed. But you're not going to read the whole Bible through if you stop and you think about or you analyze every single chapter. Remember the difference between seeing Washington, D.C. by car and seeing it by plane. Now, the Word of God is going to change you. That's why we're all reading it together. It's going to change you because the Word of God converts us. It says in the book of James, by His own will He begat us by the Word of truth. The Word of God and the Spirit of God combine together to give us the life of God. The Word of God cleanses us. Now you're clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. The Word of God grows us. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye might grow thereby. Now, this has been my experience, and it's the experience of others. If you neglect the Bible, you will not miss it in your life. You'll be able to go on without reading it day after day, come to church on Sunday, learn something about it. It will be there on the shelf, and you will not miss it. If you begin to read it, if you begin to meditate on it and study it and think about it, you will discover soon that you can't live without it. If you miss it, something will be missing. You see, the more we read it, the more we love it. And we must love God's Word. Well, today it's going to continue the same series we began last time. And if you weren't here last time, I suggest you get the CD, listen to it with the chart that you have before you, and then you'll be able to see these books in context. Because today we are going to jump basically almost to two-thirds of the chart. And I'm going to tell you about the nation Israel, which was in captivity. But I do need to just recap briefly. Remember, the story of redemption is that God said to the serpent that there will be the seed of the woman that will crush the serpent's head. The whole story of the Old Testament is the outworking of that promise. We know that it comes through Abraham. After Abraham, there comes, of course, Joseph, who goes into the land of Egypt. Israel is in the land of Egypt. And then they come out, and then they come back into the land under Joshua, and they want a king. And the first king that they want is Saul, and he turns out to be a disappointment. David is especially loved by God. And because of that love, God says, David, the seed is going to come through you. I'm going to give you a son who is going to reign over your throne forever. And that's fulfilled in Jesus. After David comes Solomon, and Solomon is noted for his great temple. This is the first temple period in Israel's history. Marvelous structure, lots of gold, because Solomon loved grandeur and greatness. And Solomon dies, and he gives the kingdom to one of his sons by the name of Rehoboam. Rehoboam increases taxes rather than decreases them. So 10 of the tribes revolt. So you have the kingdom split, and you have the northern kingdom with its capital in Samaria, and you have the southern kingdom with its capital in Jerusalem. Now, this gets very confusing, folks, because the northern kingdom is referred to now as Israel. You say, well, isn't Israel the entire land? Don't we speak of Israel today? Yes, that's true. But in those days, it was Israel, and then you have Judah, because it's the larger tribe in the south, and it is through Judah, you see, that Jesus Christ is going to come. So that's why the prophets will prophesy either to Israel or to Judah. Most of them were to Judah. The only prophets that prophesied up north were actually Hosea and Amos. All the others prophesied to the southern kingdom. But there is so much idolatry because they don't want to go to Jerusalem to worship, and so God sends the Assyrians in 722. And the Assyrians take all the northern 10 tribes captive, and we never hear from them again. They are interspersed among the nations. They are known as the 10 lost tribes. The southern kingdom continues for another 132 years, and they fall into idolatry too. Jeremiah spends 40 years saying, judgment is coming, judgment is coming. There are false prophets that say, oh, it's wonderful. God is going to bless you. He's going to make you healthy. You don't have to deal with your sin. And suddenly, you have the destruction of the temple. 350 years after it was built, Solomon's temple is destroyed because the Babylonians come to Jerusalem and the southern kingdom, Judah, is taken into captivity into Babylon. What an experience they have there. That's where the book of Daniel takes place. Daniel is a marvelous example of how we have to live in a culture that is hostile to us. Because the Jews now find themselves living in a culture that is not disposed to their own viewpoint and their own religious rituals. And so that's where they are. In captivity. And then After they are there, God decides, of course, to bring them back. He brings them back. By the way, when Solomon's temple was destroyed, Josiah took the ark and he hid it in Solomon's house. The ark was never seen again. That is the Ark of the Covenant, that box where God said he would dwell upon it. Where did the ark go? Two rabbis said that they saw it, and this is, I believe, a credible story, in one of the caverns under the temple area in Jerusalem. It is almost certainly not in Ethiopia, like all of the television specials seem to imply and want to believe. Solomon's temple is destroyed. That's the first temple period. The Jews are in Babylon 70 years. God brings them back because he predicted that it would be 70 years. Babylon is off the map because Persia conquers Babylon. Cyrus, a king, raises up and he allows the Jews to go back to their land. And they return in three different waves, coming now back to their homeland 70 years later. First of all, you have Zerubbabel. He comes and he builds his temple. Now, this is the only passage I would like you to turn to, and that is to the book of Ezra. To the book of Ezra, because Ezra is on hand when the second return takes place, but he writes the book that has his own name, and he tells us about the earlier experience of Zerubbabel and the temple. It says in chapter 3, verse 10 of the book of Ezra, "And when the builders laid the foundations of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments came forward with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord according to the directions of David, king of Israel. And they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his steadfast love endures forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord because the foundation of the Lord was laid." Yes, my friend, that is the story of the rebuilding of the temple. This is Pastor Lutzer. When you read the Bible, I want you to be able to see the big picture, the drama of redemption. How that God begins in a garden, and of course the Bible ends in a city, the New Jerusalem. But what we have in between is a story. That's why we are making available to you these messages, either on DVD or CD. Along with those messages, we give you a chart that helps you to see the various books of the Bible in relationship. We want you to be able to read the Bible intelligently, seeing the big picture. Thanks for joining us today, and if you've never trusted Christ as Savior, remember that the message of Jesus is the central purpose of God's book. Believe on him today. For God loved the world and gave his only begotten Son, that if we believe on him, we shall have eternal life. Thanks for joining us. Hope to see you here next time on Running to Win.
Erwin Lutzer's series on the drama of redemption is now in part 2 of the Old Testament. For more, tune in next time as we pick up right here where we left off. The Drama of Redemption can be yours on CD or DVD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.